And you with Annie on 3CR Breakfast, and we've got Don Sutherland on the line. Don, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Annie, and good day to all of your listeners. I hope you're all well and girding the loins for the next month and 5 years or whatever it's going to be of intense struggle around our living standards.
Well, apparently we're not in a class war. We're not in a class war. Oh, the wolves don't eat lambs.
No. And that, you know, that Kevin should not be talking that class war language. It only encourages us.
You've been doing some interesting work around age pensions relationship to average total male earnings. You might like to explain a little bit to our listeners.
Yes, well, this is one really important part of an overall working class struggle around living standards at the moment. And we really haven't finished the work yet, but what we're trying to do is understand why it is that more and more pensioners are drifting closer or onto the poverty line. And what we're discovering is that, firstly, that not many pensioners themselves understand how the twice a year adjustment to the pension occurs, how that's all worked out. That's the first thing. So it's something that is done to them, and it's done to them by bureaucrats in Services Australia who work it out. And the second thing we're finding is that there are some questions worth asking about how it is worked out, about whether there should be an increase in the pension, the age pension, and if so, how much. Now, what the system boils down to is this, is that the law requires that there be a consideration of an increase in the pension twice per year in March and September. And the Services Australia bureaucrats are charged with using information provided by the Australian Bureau of Statistics. And they have to take into account two measures of inflation relative to a benchmark of male total average weekly earnings, and that's the scheme that is used. Now, and that allegedly delivers the decision. Firstly, will there be an increase in the pension? And in just about all 6 monthly periods in recent times, that's been the case. There's one exception back in September of 2020.
But the interesting thing about all this is that it's the average total male earnings, and of course the average total male earnings have been assaulted by the increasing nature of a change of work, which is more precarious and more casualised. This has an effect, doesn't it?
Yes, that's right. You see, there are three or four measures of weekly earnings, as I think probably many of your listeners already know. And the one that they select is the lowest. And male total average weekly earnings includes precarious workers who are in temporary work, in and out of work, and includes, of course, junior workers on junior rates of pay. And that means that the benchmark, the wages benchmark against which the pension increase is compared, is lower. And the interesting thing about that average total male weekly earnings, because it includes all types of workers, is that especially since the Liberal National Party coalition came to power in 2013, is that that has increased, not relative to inflation, as we know, but it's increased at a much slower rate than the other measures. So although we've had wage stagnation, it's even more severe when you take into account the whole workforce. And that means that the pension increases will tend to be less relative to general community standards.
Goodness, it sounds like a Russian novel.
It does, and we're going to have to write it all up in plain language, but that's... we're trying to work out exactly how it occurs, and because it's is probably occurring, we suspect, contrary to the statutory requirements about what should happen with the age pension.
Yeah, it wasn't the intention. It wasn't the intention to impoverish pensioners originally.
Yes, there are more and more pensioners who are drifting to the poverty line, and especially single pensioners. And so we're trying to work that out because, you know, we're generally pensioners, those who are a little bit in the know are generally dissatisfied with the so-called peak bodies because they don't pay consistent and tough enough attention to the situation for aged pensioners. And so there's a group of us, you know, people who are on the pension or are going to be on the pension soon who have been starting to think about this, and we'll come back to and tell you a bit more about what we'll work out in the next week or three.
That's fascinating. It also gives a very strong impression of the actual state of standard of living in the broader community, not just pensioners, I'll have to say.
Yes, well, there are parts of the Australian working class, like pensioners, who you know, are under particular pressure. And of course, the other day, the updated Productivity Commission annual report on closing the gap for our First Nations people was released, and that's not, you know, that's not good reading. There are a couple of positive things that are happening, but generally speaking, again, there are real living standards problems still confronting our First Nations peoples all across the country. But then there's this, so all that's within the context of a really big struggle about living standards, which has been brought into sharp relief, of course, with the Treasurer's statement the other night. And there's so many angles to that, but I thought the one that was really most interesting for me, or perhaps not the most interesting, but one worth thinking about, because it made me start thinking about a couple of old union songs. Annie, you may remember the song called The Preacher and the Slave.
No.
The first verse, it goes, long-haired preachers come out every night, try to tell you what's wrong and what's right. But when asked about something to eat, they will answer with voices so sweet, you will eat by and by in that glorious land above the sky. Work and pray, live on hay, you'll get pie in the sky when you die.
I actually got the song for you, so we'll go out with that. Phillips.
Oh, well done you.
Yeah. It's great. Yeah, it's fantastic. What a fella.
Why did my, you know, weird thought processes go to that song, which I had thought about for a
minute? Breatharians. We're all breatharians, Don.
Yeah, well, there we go. And the reason is that in the Treasurer's statement, he said that there would be no real wage gain until 2024. And that's all based on forecasts from Treasury and the Reserve Bank. So here we have, you know, we're being asked to eat by and by 2024. Because we know that what's going on is that as the wage stagnation continues, we do know that people will sacrifice a meal or even a day of meals in order to be able to pay the rent, fill the car with petrol so they can get to and from job interviews.
Well, it's not just that. It's now estimated that one in six children in Australia are not getting their breakfast, that people are struggling to actually put food on the table. And I was doing the Concrete Gang the other day, and the CFMEU have started breakfast clubs again. This is a very interesting development. They used to do this where if you're on a building site, you become connected to a local school, and you put a gold coin donation in, and what it's doing is to support a breakfast club for the kids coming to school. They've started that up again.
Working class organisations have already been doing that, and there's going to be a lot more of it as well. And because we've got these examples of excellent effort by small working class groups in a couple of capital cities, in several capital cities and regional cities that are providing immediate material support, food and shelter for people who have that the system has discarded. Now, just to get back to these forecasts, you know, the magic years for workers, the wages are going to start to go up in 2023-24. That's the prediction. Well, the prediction is being made by Treasury and Reserve Bank. Now, they've been doing these forecasts on wages for several years, and for all of those years, they have been dramatically overestimating, over-forecasting an increase in wages.
I'm sort of hoping that with a new mechanic, they might actually be looking, appraising the system, the engine effectively, rather than optimistically.
Well, that means we have to ask ourselves, what has to change in order for that happy state of affairs where real wages are rising? That means they have to be rising above the rate of inflation.
Yeah.
There are several things that have to happen if that's going to happen in 2023-24. Firstly, immigration would have to rise so there are more workers immigration must not be allowed to happen. In other words, there has to be a continuing relative shortage of workers. So this is the, starting point is the labour market itself. If there is an oversupply of workers, that is high unemployment, and especially if it's associated with high personal debt, the willingness of workers to wage a wages and conditions campaign tends to fall. It's usually the case, although not always. Now, so that's the first thing. But, of course, one of the intents of this government is to find more workers, and that will include through new immigration arrangements. The second thing that has to happen is that organised workers, 15% of the workforce, will have to start demanding higher, including catch-up wages, and actually fighting for them. Now, at one point, that will require change, maybe require change, probably require changes to the industrial relations laws. Because right now, they're designed to stop that from happening. The third thing that has to happen, if we have to get to that happy state of real wages growing again in 2023-24, is that the 85% of the workforce who aren't organised will have to change their mind and start getting organised and joining in the struggle to raise them. Now, once again, that will require some sort of change to the law. The Fair Work Act will have to be dramatically changed, but we know that the employers are opposed to that. Somehow or other, the Albo Jim duo has to get consensus on making dramatic changes to the law at the next summit. The next employment summit that's happening September 1st and 2nd.
Is it called a job summit or is it called an employment summit?
I think it's called an employment summit.
You go. No, that's actually an important difference.
There's a website for it. Treasury's got a web page for it all. It's just got the basic information about it, which you can catch up. Just go to the treasury.gov.au and you'll follow the link to information about the summit.
And what's the date again?
We know about these
summits. Wait a second, what's the date?
1st and 2nd of September.
Yeah, good. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Now, what we know about these tripartite summits is that historically they have diluted whatever Labor's program about workers' rights is about. So whatever the program is going into the election, then the summit dilutes it, makes it weaker. And in any case, Labor's industrial relations program for the election did not include the changes that would give the legal base power to workers for effective wages and conditions. In other words, for an effective return to the happy state of real wage growth in 2023-24.
Yep.
And therefore, for that to happen, there has to be another possibility. And that must mean industry and class-based organising in defiance of those rules that currently constrain it. And there's no sign of that at this stage. And my hunch is that there are some union leaders through their membership conferences and so on that are discussing this, but they're waiting to see what does come out of the employment summit on September the 1st and 2nd.
Well, that's a fair bit. The rhetoric coming out of the nurses and midwives union in New South Wales was fairly strong, I'll have to say. They were talking about 7% and fighting at the barricades.
I haven't seen that. So that's from Unions New South Wales, is it?
Yeah, it's the ANMF, Nurses and Midwife Federation in New South Wales.
There are pockets of workers who are pursuing enterprise bargaining, serious struggles around wages and conditions, and particularly in parts of the government. And the New South Wales nurses is a good example of that, and I think it's rising to the fore in Tasmania as well.
Yeah, exactly. In Tasmania, yes.
Yeah.
Did you hear that the federal Labor is taking over the Tasmanian branch?
No, I haven't.
Sorry, I know that's a side issue.
I saw the headline, but I haven't really got into it. Just to reinforce the general point, though, is that enterprise bargaining, so despite those, you know, really important struggles in enterprise bargaining is actually less and less effective as an avenue for improvement to wages and conditions.
Yep, that's true.
And that's the overall, there's excellent research done on that, including by people like Ali Pennington, who I think you get on your program from time to time for commentary on all of that.
She's a smart one.
The fourth and final thing that would need to happen, because the timelines match up, is it would have to be a really big claim, more than the CPI, in the forthcoming annual wage review. Now, we've just had one, and there's another one coming up, of course, that starts getting underway in early December with the setting of the program of dates. Now, that decision would set any wage increase, if they awarded one, for that to, you know, it's got to be made by the June 30th, 2023. So that struggle over the annual wage review is the big working class wide struggle that is going to see how close we get to the forecast. We know that Treasury and the Reserve Bank won't get us to the forecast. They don't do that. That's not their role.
No, they're just observers.
Yeah. And so for all those people who haven't done it, that is, join their union or get active in their union, there's another song that was sort of floating around roughly the same time as that one called The Preacher and the Slave, all about preachers. I think it was invoking a future Scott Morrison in some way. There's one called The Talking Union Blues.
Ah, okay.
And well, I'm a little bit under the weather, I have been known to do a rap version of this, but it's it goes like this. Now, if you want higher wages, let me tell you what to do. You got to talk to the workers in the shop with you. You've got to build your union. You've got to make it strong. But if you all stick together, boys and girls, it won't be long. You get shorter hours, better working conditions, vacations with pay. Take your kids to the seashore. Now, there's more to it than that.
That's really neat.
Talking Union Blues, that's Pete Seeger, of course.
Yeah.
1941.
I'll look it up. Did you hear that Scott Morrison has been picked up for a speaking tour in Japan by some sort of self-help Japanese millionaire guru?
Oh, yeah. Well, yes, I wonder whether he was on leave with pay or without pay when he was doing that. The point about referring to that song and, you know, understanding the relationship between continuity and change. I mean, you know, capitalism is still capitalism. It's a different beast in some respects these days, but it's also the same. And our labour movement has got to go back to its continuity of saying, well, do we want to have an improvement in living standards or otherwise done to us by a government or the Reserve Bank or the Fair Work Commission? Or do we want to take charge ourselves? Do we want to be the protagonists defining our future? And that's the big question that we face in the months ahead.
We've got
to learn how to do that while at the same time not giving free kicks that enable the possibility of a return of the LNP. We've got to learn to do that by challenging the inadequacies of Labor's program at the same time as supporting what it does well and asserting us, working class organisations that are growing, as taking command of our future.
Yeah, politically astute, but in solidarity. Keep an eye on the ball.
That we in Australia haven't known for a long time.
Yeah. Well, that's a good warning, Don. That's very interesting food for thought, I'd have to say. Thank you very much for talking to us this morning.
It's lovely to be back with you all, and very best wishes.